about to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. And Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. It is 7:05 on April the 25th. I hope you had a great Easter weekend. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567. And we're chatting and streaming at KCNR1460.com. What a day today. I think it's going to be not a great day weather-wise, but it can be a great day otherwise. And speaking of great days, here's Bad Bob.
And good morning.
Hey, Bob. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
So I understand you picked up some crabs this weekend.
As a matter of fact, we did go crab fishing for Brenda's birthday in Eureka and managed to fetch up a fair catch.
A plethora?
Yes. Wasn't even a deadly catch.
A cornucopia?
Those little pinchers, you know.
What kind were they? You're saying they're red crabs.
Red rocks, yes.
Red rocks.
Smaller than the more popular Dungeness, but quite tasty. And you work a little harder to get the stuff out, but it's very good. Very tasty.
Do you use nets? Do you use, like, chicken legs?
You use chicken legs for bait because the seals apparently aren't as attractive. If you use fish, the seals come after it. But we used a crab ring, which is basically an open net sort of thing, and then we used a couple of crab traps, and we made a nice catch.
A crab ring. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll just go along with that without even asking you about that. Okay. You know, Linda's not here. She's on assignment. She's got a bunch of things she's doing today, and she may be in here later on. Maybe not, though. But she'll be back, of course, tomorrow. But she always starts off with those were the days. When you're taking a trip and following a map, you usually take the word of the cartographer that the map names are accurate. That was pretty much the same on this day in 1507. That's right, in 1507. Do you care, Bad Bob? That's when map maker and geographer Martin Waldmüller of Germany explained why the world map he was making would show the new world as Amerige, the land of Amerigo. And as much as both Europe and Asia received their names from women, I see no reason why one should justly object to calling this part Amerige, i.e. the land of Amerigo, or America. After Amerigo, its discoverer, a man of great ability. So today, in 1507, a cartographer decided that we should be named America.
Hmm.
Is that good?
Funny how these things get started.
And in 1928, Buddy, the first CNI dog, was presented to Morris S. Frank on this day. The very first CNI dog. And that's probably about it. You know, I thought maybe there might be another one on there someplace, but no, it's not. It's just the CNI dog part. Okay, today, as I said, you know, today we were going to have at 7:30, we're going to have the Shasta Gill talking about Mother's Day and some great things, but their event was canceled, so they're not going to make it today. And we're going to have Mark Beecham on later on. So today, as we're going to be catching up on open line type of material, we're going to be talking about Libya. We're talking about three of our senators who have just said, we need to go in there heavy. We need to go in there a lot more. I want to talk to you about what's going on in healthcare. When I was talking to doctors over the weekend, and their explanations of things that are being found, that events that are happening because of the new health care plan are just, you know, when you hear about it, you're not going to believe it. But unfortunately, they are in the health plan. And what about what's happening right here in the state and what's happening right here in Reading? With the gunfights over the weekend, homeless camps proposed, there's a lot of stuff going on. So we're going to come back. We're going to start on the other side of the world and work our way closer right as we get back from these messages. This is KCNR 1460. This is Carl and Linda Bott, and this is Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Radio, and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, and Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment. It's 7:13 in the morning on April the 25th. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming and chatting at KCNR1460.com. Bad Bob, weather.
Well, it looks like showers today, then gradually becoming mostly sunny, a high near 61, under, like I said, mostly blue skies. Gusts, wind could gust up to about 26 miles an hour, Then partly cloudy tonight and a low around 38. Definitely jacket weather. Improving tomorrow, the high closing in on 70 degrees. Right now, 52 degrees downtown. Weather report always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
That's right, Anselmo Vineyards. Great place up there, you know, besides just the great brunches and the dinners. The music is magical up there on the weekends. And we'll be talking about that later on this week. But you always need reservations when you go up there for the music nights. If you want to sit in the music area. And some old vineyards, just a short drive out of Palo Cedro. Hey, our guest is calling in from Portland, Oregon, James.
Good morning, Carl. How are you today?
We are great, James. And how are you? How have you been since you left our fair city?
Well, we are certainly missing our friends in Redding, but we are also exploring and learning a new town and enjoying that as well.
Well, Portland's
having a blast, actually.
Well, Portland's not a bad place, is it?
Well, it was a little wet this winter. The locals are telling us it rained a little bit more than it normally does. I think the year what they expressed was the worst they've ever seen.
Oh.
But we've had some beautiful blue skies and some nice days, and when it's nice up here, it's unlike anything else I've ever seen.
Well, I always understood it. That nice tan color is not tan, it's rust.
That's rust. Oh,
there.
Yeah. No, everything is just saturated and wet, and it's absolutely pouring this morning.
And Lisa...
Lisa is fine. She's working and dancing and carrying on and doing well, actually.
She seems to be a type of person to be happy everywhere.
Well, and she's met a whole new group of friends and doing some volunteer work with them and still involved with the arts and just doing what Lisa does.
Well, we miss you guys, and I'm glad you're listening.
Well, we listen quite frequently, and I wanted to call this morning in particular. We had a family member in Redding who received a phone call late last week, and by the time it was over, she had sent almost $4,000 to a scammer.
How'd that happen?
Well, mom's in her early 80s now, and she received a phone call from a young, frightened voice who said, "Grandma," and then mom followed up with the name of this grandchild. And the person on the other end just took it from there and explained that he was in a Mexican jail and had wrecked a car and needed $4,000 to extract himself out of jail and get the car bill taken care of and not to tell anybody in the family and to send it Western Union. And it panicked mom so much that she complied.
Oh, wow.
And by the time we kind of got involved and figured out what was happening, we realized that the nephew or grandchild that was calling wasn't actually calling. It was quite safe in Northern California.
Well,
so the money just vanished.
Well, you know, I understand that this scam has been played before. I mean, I've heard of this scam before.
Well, and the police department mentioned that this time of year, with all the spring breakers happening, it's very common. And it was just it sounds like a numbers game, and they just call and call and call until they get the right voice on the other end of the line.
And you get emails from people. I got an email from an elderly gentleman I knew that said he was stuck in London because his credit cards have been taken and all this, and would I wire him some money? And I thought, first of all, would he be in England? And I thought, well, you know, it's possible. But then I thought about it, and I thought, you know, this is just, you know, he would never, first of all, come to me for this kind of thing. But I guess other people fall on that one or bite onto that one. And people that prey on elderly people are just, you know, they've got no class or morals.
The worst.
Yeah, they're the worst. They are the worst.
And, my advice to anybody is sit down with your family members and almost work out a plan ahead of time for this kind of thing. When anybody's telling you to keep it a secret, that's probably the best time that you start talking to family members and let them know what's going on.
Well, you know, it's things like, too, is that after, have mom just have a series of questions there, like,
exactly.
You know, what's my address? Or where,
exactly.
You know,
what,
yeah.
I also like to think that the banking industry would recognize certain patterns. And would have been great to pull her aside and say, okay, what's going on? I don't suppose they can legally or privacy matters and so on.
Well, you can put a no, you can. Banks can put a limit on your how much you can pull out on a credit card or a debit card.
Yeah.
I went down to a pay for body work and gave them my debit card, and you know it was $1,500, and the bill was like $2,000, and I go, wait a minute, I, you know, there's money in there, and the gentleman, well, it was Coachmaster, you know, just said, you know, they put limits on
sure.
debit cards a lot, and so when I called the bank, they said, yeah, we do, all it took was a phone call, and they raised it, but the bottom line is that they could probably limit the amount of money that she can send someplace. I mean, if it was ever going to happen before, I mean, again.
Well, it was a scary moment,
yeah.
And I think Western Union and. You know, a phone number that you can't call back on should all be red flags for this type of stuff.
Oh, yeah, especially the number you can't call back on. And,
exactly.
You know, and again, there's that series of questions like, well, what's your, where does your father live?
Yeah.
Something like
yeah.
that.
What's your favorite ice cream? It can be
yeah.
anything.
Anything. And grandma would know it, but they wouldn't.
Exactly.
Well, hey, you know what? Thanks so much for calling.
Sure.
Hey, we miss you guys a lot.
Well, you'll see our heads in the door. One day is a big surprise. We're going to be down soon.
Oh, great, great, great. We can't wait. All right, James Fawson and Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Is she waving?
She's waving hello.
Okay.
I got to tell her this is the radio. She can't wave.
Okay, all right.
All right, Carl,
all
thanks.
Right. You bet. Take care. Okay, we're going to take a quick, you know, James and Lisa were just such great members of our community, always involved with the arts, but always doing things for people around here. They had a business here, and then decided to go up to Portland and take a look at what's going on up there. But we've really missed them. We've missed what they've added to our community. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. Carl and Linda Bach, KCNR 1460. It is 7:20 in the morning on April the 25th. It looks a little damp out there, but maybe it'll clear up later on. And this is Free Fire Radio. April the 25th, it's 7:23 in the morning. It's Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio. Linda's on assignment. Looks like it's going to be a decent day today. I mean, after we get past the rain, 52 degrees, I understand, listening to Cheetah, that later on this week it ought to be pretty good. Okay, we just talked about... We just had a caller from Portland, Oregon, calling us and telling us about how grandmother got scammed right here in Redding because a caller said it was her, you know, calls up and says, Grandma, and she gives the appropriate name because grandmas do that. And he says, Grandma, I'm in Mexico. I'm in jail. I was in a car wreck. You've got to send me $4,000. You've got to wire it to me, guys. You can't call back. Grandma, being the loving grandma that she is, did it. Of course, the thing is, don't tell anybody. I don't want anybody to know. I'm so embarrassed, Grandma. I'll pay you as soon as I get back. Well, Grandma sends the $4,000. It's a scam. You might want to pass this on to your senior parents or friends that are just nice. That if somebody's calling you to take $4,000 from your or wants you to send them money, it may not always be the right thing. Now, here's one that's even better. You got a wireless in your house? A lot of people do. If you've got a wireless in your house and you don't have a password protect on it, you could be in lots of trouble. Ask this gent up in New York that in the middle of the night, police crashed through his door. I mean, a lot of police. They've got him on the ground. They've got his family on the ground. They're yelling pedophile at him and child molester and where are they? Where's your computer? Well, turns out that he wasn't a pedophile. But somebody using his wireless on his computer, his access point was. And this is not unusual. This is not as unusual as you think. I think they, you know, a percentage, something like 42% of 1,500 adults that were asked, will you use another wireless if you can get into it, or another access point that's open if it's not password protected? And I think 43% of them said, sure, why not? Bad Bob, you do stories on this.
As a matter of fact, yes, and that is a problem. And one part of the problem is that the routers, the instructions are so tough to follow. Most of the major brands have simplified the process, but yeah, the active and the worst thing you can do is leave the default password in that configures the router, and usually it's admin and then just a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or something like that. And you need to go in and change those passwords immediately as soon as you're setting the thing up. And if the companies would make that a simpler process, this sort of thing would go away. Of course, they're not being held accountable. But, yeah, being forced down at gunpoint for something you have no clue what's going on, that's kind of bad mojo. So definitely if you're setting up an in-house network, wireless is a convenience, but the only way to really be secure, and you should never do your banking over a wireless connection if you can avoid it, do a hardwired connection right into your router.
Well, you know, the thing, too, is that people can just... There's so many wireless connections around, so many access points around. You know, you can go into ones, you know, at, I don't know, probably Starbucks and a few others that when they do this, that once you get access in there, then you're just free to go anywhere, right? And is there any tracking at that point?
Well, if it's happening at, see, a lot of these crooks are creatures of habit. So if somebody's showing up at the Barnes & Noble or something and they're downloading from most of these sites that are sources for the bad material are being tracked on a pretty constant basis. And within minutes, they're going to start zeroing in. And a lot of these guys, they'll come back time and time again to a location. The smart ones don't, but who would be smart in doing that? So they, if they're at a public access point, most of them get nailed. So they'll go out and they'll just go out into suburbia and find an open wireless, and you can do that from your car, pick up and download away. It even happens at boating marinas that have open wireless.
Well, that's what they talked about. They said some guy used a potato chip can and downloaded, I think it was 10,000 pages of stuff.
Yeah.
And this using a wireless. Now, let me ask another question then. You can drive around neighborhoods and with what your computer's on and you stop and you just try to.
You have a sniffing program that looks for open access points.
You can get those anywhere too, probably.
Oh, yeah. Well, the software is free. In fact, Network Stumbler is. We were experiencing some interference on our wireless, and it's a free program called Network Stumbler that points up every wireless in the vicinity. And whether it was a secured network or not.
Okay, well, here's the bottom line, my friends. If you've got a wireless access in your house or your business and you don't have it password protected, you might want to do that. And whoever set it up for you, if you set it up yourself, you may want to change the administrative password. But if you just got it in your house, you think, oh, well, who's gonna bother this? Well, they do. And if you've got somebody next door who decides to use your wireless for nefarious purposes, they will track you down. They could even be a... how far away can they be, Bob?
Range of most wireless routers, 300 to 500 feet. But if you have a directional antenna at the receiving end, you can stretch that out to a quarter mile or better.
There you go. So, password protect. It's going to do you a lot of good. It probably would have helped those people in New York before the police got in. All right, we got to take a break for the news. When we come back, we're going to be talking Libya. We're going to be talking what else happens. What happens if somebody steals something from the business? They get injured by somebody else. Can they still go back after the business? Well, what do you think? It's Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. It is 7:29 on April the 25th. Join us after the news. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, and Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, April the 25th, 7:35 in the morning. Linda's on assignment. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming at KCNR1460.com. You know, last week, of course, we did the Emergency Preparedness Week, and then we held the kind of just an exhibition of goods, and you know, some people could ask questions. It wasn't supposed to be a lecture series or anything. And we were down at Tobacco Brew at 2143 Hilltop Drive, and the people at Tobacco and Brew, Shelley and Joe, are such great people. You know, they opened up this room to people, free. It's got Wi-Fi in there. I'm sure it's password protected. And the plus effect, of course, having Espresso Joe's and you know, all the finest humidor in the state. But they allow citizens to come in there and use this for meeting places. So we had a lot of stuff laid out from just a go bag where people can come in and see the kind of stuff they should have. And then the Red Cross was there and have a bunch of handouts and an example of their bag that they have. And the place was filled with Reading Bites, River City people that were getting an idea about what they might want to take with them, if, you know, or what they should have with them in case there is an emergency. And my friends, this emergency preparedness is not over yet because we still have two or three things we want to cover. So we'll wait a week or so, and we're going to be getting on the website. We're going to be putting up on the website a lot of the our website, other websites that you can go to, links to other websites that will help you out. Plus, the fact is that the handouts, if you just go to Mark Kent, he has the handouts, and he probably has them on the scanned in for his internet that he can send out to you. Anyway, it was a great effort by Mark and the Red Cross. Jake Ryan came in on Friday and talking about it. Of course, financial ruin is one of those big things that you have to worry about. Now, some other things that were happening that I wanted to talk about. Let's talk about Libya. We've got Senators McCain and Lieberman say we want more NATO. We want more U.S. involvement. How about arming the rebels? How about arming the rebels, Senator McCain and Senator Lieberman? I just wrote a blog the other day concerning the fact we just gave $25 million in aid. $25 million in aid to the rebels. Now, this was non-combat aid. It was trucks, gasoline, protective vest to wear, no weapons, those kind of things, fuel bladders. And the fact is, $25 million to the rebels. Now, here's another report at the same time in the Washington Times is that they've got probably 1,000, I think they call them freelance jihadists, running around Libya right now. Well, a freelance jihadist, is the way I understand it, is kind of non-aligned. Well, he's not aligned maybe to the rebels, and he's not aligned to Gaddafi, but they could be aligned in not liking the West. So my question then is, okay, we're sending down trucks, we're sending down this other stuff. Does it get to the jihadist? And let's just say a small percentage does, okay? Let's just say it's two trucks. So now we're talking about arming the rebels. Or are we arming them with, like, anti-tank material, weapons, because Gaddafi has tanks? Are we talking about heavy machine guns? Are we talking about armor? Are we talking about any type of artillery? How about mortars? A lot of mortars, about stuff like that. How much of that can you guarantee will not end up in the hands of these freelance jihadists? Bob?
Well, I was interested this morning on the BBC with that story about 400 Taliban fighters tunneled their way out of a prison in Kandahar province. Did you catch that one? And among them were several top senior commanders of the Taliban. That happened yesterday. It took them a couple of months to dig this tunnel into this prison in Kandahar, and nobody noticed?
Well, that's why tunnels sometimes work. They don't notice it. Well, you know,
but we can't even control that situation.
Well, we can't. Okay, but here's my other thing is, okay, we want to go hammer them. We want to cut off the head, as Senator McCain says. And are we basing this on saving civilian lives? Well, in Syria, they killed 120 the last couple of days in riots in the streets because these people want democracy. They want freedom. It's not happening. And so the police are killing them in Syria. They're killing them in where? Bahrain. I've been to Bahrain several times, and it was kind of, to me, it was always seemed kind of like a somewhat liberal, liberal for Middle East standards. But they're killing them there. What about Yemen? Well, let's just go to the big ones. How about North Korea and Iran? How about when the people were wanting freedom in the jihadist state, I should say, the fundamentalist state of Iran? We didn't do anything. Obama didn't even weigh in and say until later and say, oh, you know, this is a good thing. People should have freedom. And now a chance to not get involved or to let the UN do their job. To send NATO in, NATO goes in and does its job. Why are we wanting to take the lead in this? Why do we need to take the lead in this? It's a NATO operation. You want to be a support element of this? Fine. You want to send another $25 million worth of stuff to the rebels and you're not sure who's going to get it? You know, another great decision from the Potomac. Another great decision from the Potomac. But to get in, and now we want to get into, okay, we'll just do it. We'll just do it. Excuse me, Senator McCain and Senator Lieberman. The last time I looked, we're losing troops in Afghanistan and fighting, and that's costing us hundreds of millions of dollars. The war in Libya is costing us $1 million a day. We just lost two more of our soldiers this past Tuesday, five the week before. Let NATO take the lead. Let them do it. Why do we have to do this? We got to take a break. Carl and the Bot, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, and this is Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, 7:45 in the morning on April the 25th. Yeah! 605-4567. We're chatting at KCNR1460.com. At least some of us are. Hey, Daniel. Okay, this portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. B&T Satellite. Doug Tooley puts in Dish Satellite. Don't use the 800 number. Use the 244-1988 number. That means it stays local. The 800 number sends you to a different atmosphere. Hemisphere? Maybe even a different world. We're not sure. But 244-1988 will get you to Doug or Heather. He guarantees his work. He's a local guy. He hires local people. He guarantees his work. He can get you HD for free. He has to explain that one to you. Both of his kids say the same thing. Don't call the 800 number. Call 244-1988. That's Doug Tooley, veteran, local, great guy.
Speaking of sunshine.
Currently 52 degrees here on this lovely Monday stormy day, 7:46 in the morning, and yes, you couldn't keep me on my deathbed. I can't stand it. I have to be here with you.
When I saw her last, she was laying over the bed going, please, just let it be over. And the dog was laying on her head.
So. moving forward, Bob, Brenda had a birthday, and you were at the coast.
Yes, had an excellent time.
Did I miss something? Did you guys talk about it? Were you in Crescent City?
Actually, we were in Trinidad in a very nice vacation rental on a scenic drive with a beautiful view of the ocean and a very, very nice view. The house was one of these real artsy glass see-through houses, and it was a little... interesting that you were dependent on landscaping for a little privacy, but beautiful house. I'm glad I wasn't paying the rental on the thing, but we had a fabulous time, went into town, did some crabbing.
Did you catch any?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Bob gave bread to crabs. It was a whole
pile of crabs. So you were able to actually go, you know, catch a crab and bring it back and...
Several.
And eat it.
Yeah.
In fact, my
lunch bag has the leftovers.
How organic is that? Love it. Well, that's great.
Okay.
That was our social moment. Our social moment. All right. Brought to you by.
Right. Hey, Saturday, 30 April, 5:30 p.m. at the Shasta County Memorial Veterans Hall will be the CVAC, Shasta County Veterans Affiliated Council, Advocate of the Year, both in the individual and the group. The individuals nominated Julie Clausen, Charlie Thompson, Fred Salante. The group is the Northern California Veterans Cemetery Support Board. And the Sons of Italy. And there's going to be a President's Award for Lifetime Achievement. And this, again, the tickets are $15, and the evening includes chicken and tri-tip dinner, entertainment, no-host bar, and a multimedia presentations of the advocates' accomplishments. You know, this is a good thing to do. If you want to get tickets, you just call Charlie Thompson or Julie Clausen at 241-4136 or Charlie... at 524-1214. If you have any questions, just give us a call here at KCNR at 605-4565. Now, I said I was going to talk about medical. And I will. I'm going to run over this next break because I don't care. I was talking to a doctor this weekend, and this is a very knowledgeable, you know, every one of the doctors I have talked to, maybe I just, there's a number of them, every one of them is just enraged and upset and almost, you know, probably almost terrified of this Obamacare.
Actually, at the brink of probably saying, whatever I got to do to get out, I'm done.
Yeah, there's ones. But this is the latest one from this 2,500-page monstrosity of a health care bill. And I'm not saying is that does the healthcare system need to be tweaked? Does it need to be parts of it need to be fixed? Absolutely. Oh my God, yes. But there are things in this bill that they're changing daily, like they're about the having to write down all the different IRS forms, and it was going to take it was going to have people filling out 6,000 forms for things. All the extra IRS agents. All the all these waivers people are getting now. I mean, waivers from states are getting waivers from this. So here's this one: 15 doctors in this healthcare bill. It says that there's going to be 15 doctors are going to decide what is correct in the field of medicine for this country. 15 doctors. They have no Senate or congressional oversight,
except for Washington State.
Well, no. We're going to use that as an example.
Okay.
No Senate or congressional oversight. They're presidential appointments. They're on separate funding. Separate funding, which means they can't be cut off. Washington State is doing this right now. They've got that. And there's nobody to protest to. They are telling people what they have to do. And what if you disagree? And here's the other thing. They're presidential appointments. So you've got this one president that believes, well, I think everybody should have this kind of treatment, And the next president rolls in and says, no, I don't believe in that. The bottom line is how many of these people, what's this going to do to the healthcare system? We had the heads of the hospitals on the other day. They're all saying, we need some kind of insurance plan that's going to cover everybody. They're not advocating the government do it. But they're advocating that somebody that the companies come up and stand up, because they said we have 27-year-olds, 28-year-olds, 29-year-olds coming in here healthy, good jobs, do not have health insurance. They break their leg skiing, they come in there, they get treated, no health insurance, and you can't put a lien against their Beamers or their Mercedes. So what happens then? That's another subject, and we're going to have the heads of Shasta Regional Medical Center and Mercy in here, and in the next week to be able to talk about that. But the medical plan, every doctor I talk to, whether it's in Tennessee, California, Oregon, Nevada, they all say the same thing: we're in for some tough times. Got to take a break. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. It's 7:51 on April the 25th, and this is Free Fire Radio.
KCNR 1460 right here. This is Carl and Linda Bott, and welcome to the program this morning on this windy Monday morning. We're looking at 70% chance of showers with a high of 61 and partly cloudy tonight with a low of 38. The weather is always brought to you by Ensalmo Vineyards. And by the way, as we do our music series this weekend, Lou White will be out there on the 30th. Okay, while we're talking about entertainment, the Shasta High School music is, their school is going to present Music Man, all that good 76 trombone stuff. So they're an award-winning music department, and this is going to be from May 4th to May 7th and May 12th to May 14th, directed by Gavin Spencer. 70 students are going to be in this, and I have tickets here, so the first caller at 605-4567 will win two tickets. That will be for May 4th at 7 p.m. Two tickets for May 4th for the 7 p.m. performance. Tickets row V, seats 12 and 14. So do call this morning at 605-4567. And on this very windy day in Shasta County, you can feel good because you won those two tickets to see Music Man, which, of course, will lift your spirits. Waiting for your call. Now, the very last, do you want to talk about this tip jar thing with Starbucks?
I do.
Okay, and the reason I really want to talk about this, too, is because the similar situation, not as horrible as this, but a similar situation happened right down the street with a tip jar and somebody ripping it off and running down the street and the person that was manning the booth chasing the guy down, getting the tip jar back. In this case,
in Starbucks, a young man, a teenager, grabs the tip jar, runs out the door. A customer just chases after him, and he's in the ensuing him trying to escape, the teenager gets into his car. The car takes off. The car hits the man that had, you know, had retrieved the tip jar. It knocked him down and it killed him. He died 2 days later. The teenager's manslaughter gets accused of manslaughter. Gets sentenced to jail for manslaughter. The family forgives the criminal.
Over a tip jar.
Oh, this is a tip jar.
Less
than $5 in it. He kills this man for over, you know, for less than $5. So the family forgives this criminal, has him come to memorial service to plant a tree. All right. Well, then what does the family do? Okay, I'll give you just one guess. Yep, that's true. Sue. They sued Starbucks. They didn't sue the teenager. He has no money, of course. They sued Starbucks because they said, putting a tip jar out there causes people... Invited the act, and they had no security guards there to prevent it. Invited the act with a tip jar, and you know what? I just don't know what to say about this. I feel for the people. I feel for the people. The idea of some recalcitrant jerk taking a tip jar is terrible. So he runs down the street. So somebody chases him. I mean, first of all, take the tip jar. You know, there's photos. They've got cameras everywhere. Take the tip jar. I don't care. If I can trip you on the way out, maybe. Probably not. Take the tip jar. As long as it's not my tip jar or anything from me. But then to have the family, you know, gosh, she's probably misunderstood. Let's sue Starbucks. And you wonder how our legal system is like this. Who came to the parents to say, you know what? They shouldn't have sued. You know, I mean, Starbucks should have. They were just enticing your son into being a criminal there.
Which brings up the point, how many situations have you had in your life, and that's the listener, where, you know, people have said, why don't you just sue? And have you thought, have you sued? Or is part of you thinking, I'm not going to sue. I'm not going to be part of this crazy system.
Yeah. Well, you know,
there's a time and a place, but over that.
Yeah. Well, there's lawyers right now out there getting their law degree online that this is what they believe in, is sue, sue, sue. Anyway, I just found that just reprehensible. Hey, we got to take a break. We come back. Mark Beecham is our guest. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio. This is Shasta Redding.
Listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.
Radio on KCNR. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, and Carl and Linda Bott. It's 8:05, April the 25th. It's after Easter. We're quickly approaching the 1st of May, and we know what happens then. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567. We're streaming and chatting, and I don't know what's happening in the chat room. We usually have like 18,000 people on it, and now we've got just a few Jaws and Coach Bob and Daniel and a few others. But we have Bad Bob here, and we have Mark Beecham, who has joined us for this hour. And I always enjoy having Mark here. But before we get to Mark, we're going to go to the phones. Elizabeth, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
You know, I'm peachy, Elizabeth.
Great. Hey, that was a wonderful series you had last week on survival and preparedness.
Well, you know, we had a lot of people show up on down at Tobacco and Brew at noontime. And I probably should have made it a little bit clearer. People were wandering in thinking it was just going to be kind of like an hour and you could just walk in and see stuff, which it turned out to be, with a lot of handouts for people. We took the handouts down and gave them to my in-laws, because anybody that you ask, except with the exception of a few people, do you have, like, batteries and flashlights or extra food, or you got any water or anything like that? Is your car always on a half a tank of gas and these things? Almost every one of them says no.
Yeah, they're not. That's a little scary.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, well, you know, gosh, no, I don't. So, anyway.
Well, it was great, and I delivered 3 large buckets of individually prepared meals to my parents yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And they were happy to get it, so... You know, for those of us that do know how to do that, we can help those that don't.
That's right. I know.
At the Reading Tea Party tonight, 6:00, Bonneville Baptist Church at 2570 South Bonneville Road, we will have Congressman Herger. you know, they're on spring break and they're making the rounds through their districts. And so this is a great opportunity for people to come out and get their questions answered. If you know, anything that they've got that's kind of floating around in the back of their brain, any questions, wondering the status of the spending situation, this is a really good time to get all those questions answered and meet him face-to-face.
Now, he's going to be there at 6 o'clock for, what, a couple hours?
More than likely, yeah. Usually when one of our elected representatives shows up, we usually draw a much bigger crowd, and they're usually there for 2 to 3 hours because there's just so much on the table right now that people want to know about.
Well, there is. There's a lot of things. I like to hear what he says about the budget and what's going on with that. I like to hear the health care plan, which is still going downhill like a runaway, you know, Mr. Toad's wild ride. And then what's going on with Libya? I mean, you know, this thing on Libya. Are we continue? Are we getting ready to launch another fight? Is McCain talking about putting more into the fight? Is that going to happen?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting how things didn't quite turn out the way anybody was expecting them to. So it should be interesting. So I encourage everybody to come out tonight. And again, that's 6 o'clock. South Bonneville Road, 2570, the Bonneville Baptist Church.
And it sounds like it's going to be a great meeting. You got Congressman Herger down there for 2 hours.
Get there early because we usually draw a pretty big crowd.
Yeah, I urge people to go there. You know, I'm pretty noncommittal on a lot of things when it comes to different organizations, you know, just because we support all and support none kind of thing. But you all have some really, really interesting guests out there. And when you can get an elected representative in front of you for 2 hours, I encourage everybody to go there. If it's standing room only, so what?
Yeah. And you know,
listen to what he says.
You know, if people are going to sit back and complain and then not take advantage of an opportunity like this, then they have no right to complain. You know, we work very hard to provide a forum for folks to come out and find out what's happening in their government at every level. We go to meetings all week long, every week. I mean, you can go to any public meeting in Reading and you will find Tea Party people there.
Yeah, you know, and the thing about it is, you know, people want to paint Tea Party people with different shades of whack. But to me, but you know, we've had the ACLU on, you know, People of Progress, we've got the Stand Up for Peace groups, and all this. And that one thing we encourage is which side that you lean to, is the fact is just get there, be there, learn what's going on, so you can make up your own mind instead of just having people on the radio tell you.
Exactly, and the problem is that's what got us in the position that we're in, is that too many folks stayed back and were easily swayed by what they heard in the media, and they allowed that to frame their opinions and their actions. And we have to get away from that. So, again, going to these meetings, whenever you possibly can, even if you don't know the topic, it's amazing how quickly you'll catch on if you just go.
Oh, sure. And, you know, I realize there's just one talk show host that really has the insight for everything, but I try not to push that on people, on my listeners. So, okay, tonight at the Bonneville Baptist Church, you're going to have Wally Herger there. And
we will have Wally Herger.
Starting at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, and get there early if you want a seat.
Great. Okay, Elizabeth, thank you very much.
Have a great week.
You too. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Our guest is Mark Beecham. He's standing there. He is pawing at the turf. There's a lot of things going on that he would like to have explained to him, and some things that he's asking questions about, and they're great. It's going to be a great hour here. So this is Carl and Linda Bott. It's 8:11 in the morning on April the 25th, and this is Free Fire Radio. CNR 1460. Home of Free Fire Media and Carl and Linda Bott. 8:15 in the morning on April the 25th, our guest, Mark Beecham. Mark's here today to talk about, Mark's got like 12 different subjects he wants to talk about, and I'm always interested. So, Mark, why don't you fire your first salvo here, and let's get going.
Well, Carl, you mentioned something during the break that I hadn't seen Doonesbury on Sunday. Could you tell me about that?
Well, you know, Doonesbury, of course, is, you might say, is leaning to the left, if you read it. That this Sunday they had the Obama White House there, and they were talking about historical you know, how we, who do we support? Well, in Libya, it's you know, we're on the side of history. You know, Mubarak, we're on the side of history. And they said, well, what about Syria? What about Bahrain? What about France? And there's, you know, just a voice portraying Obama is trying to figure out which side of history am I on this time? And it was a not so veiled whack at his foreign policy of what we're doing in the Middle East right now. Well, I find that interesting.
Yeah, I find that interesting too. And I've been wondering the last year certainly, and the last 6 months definitely. Where is the left? Where is the outrage on the left for the way that Obama is governing? You can remember back in 2003, 2004, when George Bush was in office and we had just stumbled into Iraq, and there was just absolute frothing anger on the left directed at George Bush. And you saw it even locally with a group called Citizens for Responsible Government sprung up and took ads in the newspaper decrying the Patriot Act and saying it had to be repealed, etc. Well, in 2008, we elected a Democrat, and I assume everybody on the left thought that there would be big changes afoot. And what happened? Well, as far as I can tell, and I think this is beginning to dawn on a lot of people on the left, Obama is governing just as George W. Bush did. Not in all respects, but in the large respects. He hasn't closed Guantanamo. He hasn't repealed the Patriot Act. He went to war in another Middle Eastern country to depose a bad guy. But unlike George Bush, he didn't even consult Congress before he did it. So where is the outrage? Where is Cindy Sheehan? Why isn't she camping out in front of Barack Obama's rented mansion in Honolulu? And if she were, assuming she were, would she still be the media darling that she was in 2003 and 2004?
Well, obviously, I don't think she would be, because it would be as this was not Obama's fault. The one I found really amusing.
Well, whose fault is it then?
Well, no, that's what they think. Yeah. No, of course it's Obama's fault. This is Obama's war. Oh, Libya is Obama's war. Afghanistan is Obama's war. And I hate to say it to everybody, but Iraq is Obama's war. Now, what Obama's doing in Iraq is the same plan that has been there for years. Is okay, pull everybody out by this time. But Afghanistan, he launched back into, and now Libya. And now you've got Senators McCain, Lieberman, and somebody else, and a number of people saying, let's take more of a ride into Libya. And I think that's a mistake, because, one, we don't know where the aid's really going to, because they can't say it's not. They can't delineate where the aid's going to go to, how many goes to Al-Qaeda. But the other thing about it is, he came out, Obama just came out to this fundraiser in San Francisco. If you're not safe in San Francisco, where are you safe at? He was introduced by Pelosi, and the tickets were $35,000 a piece for this fundraiser. Not all the seats were filled, but still enough of them were there. And one entire table got up and protested against that soldier who released all the records to WikiLeaks being held in Quantico. And the two of them had to be escorted out. I mean, here you are in the center of liberaldom with Nancy Pelosi and the president, and he was being castigated inside the meeting, and there were protesters on the outside. Maybe people are starting to catch on.
Well, one other aspect of this is how the media has been covering the economy during the Obama administration. Had George Bush been in the White House, or a Republican like John McCain been president during the last 2 years, I suspect the media coverage would have been vastly different than it has been. I would expect that we would have been treated to, you know, nightly on television and public radio, long segments about this unending recession and or anemic jobless so-called recovery that we're going through. Instead, the mainstream press, as far as I can tell, is largely silent on the economy. They are publishing, you know, the periodic tepid reports out of the Bureau of Labor Statistics that the jobless rate has fallen by 0.1%. or 0.2%, or this many jobs were created last month, or this many jobs were not created last month. But it's been very, very, almost no coverage of the economy compared to what it would have been had there been a Republican administration, in my opinion.
Well, I think you're right, and we've got to take a break here. But what about this thing where, what about the oil crisis that's going on right now, and the fact that Obama talked about before he was elected about having the oil go up high so it could drive people into being conserving? And what about the point that gold's at the highest it's ever been and silver's at the highest it's ever been, and we're still printing $100 million a month without anything to back it up?
Well, one thing that hasn't been talked about is the effect on oil prices and food and commodity prices of our seriously depreciating dollar. All these commodities are priced in dollars, and the weaker our dollar gets, that means the more we have to pay. That's not true if you happen to have a strong currency like, ironically, Japan or the euro compared to the dollar, but we are picking up the bill for that.
Yeah, and that's something else we can talk about, just how much everything has gone up in just the last 2 or 3 months. Got to take a break here, Carl and Linda Bott. It's 8:21. It's April the 25th, and this is Free Fire Radio.
We're listening to KCNR 1460 here on Free Fire Radio this morning. And the chat room is open at KCNR1460.com. I'm looking at your comments. Of course, you want to dive in here. Start your Monday off with getting your juices going. High 70% chance of shower city with a high of 61. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 38. And this portion of the show is brought to you by BNT Satellite.
BNT Satellite, 244-1988. Doug Tooley, a veteran. A local, don't call the 800 number. Call Doug at 244-1988. He does dish satellite. He guarantees his work. And he is a local. He hires local guys and girls. And, you know, that's where you want to go to. The 800 number takes you far, far away into a land that time forgot. So call the 244-1988 number. And you know what? We're still giving away those tickets to Music Man. First person that calls at 605-4567, you get a tickets to Music Man. That's right. Tickets to Music Man.
605-4567. Still waiting for a caller for that May 4th ticket giveaway.
That's right.
A
great place to
calls.
Do it. 70-person, you know, 70-person cast, 76 trombones. How can you do 76 trombones with only 70 people? Some are playing twice. I'm almost positive. Our guest is Mark Beecham, and we're having a great time. Mark wants to know, and it's a great question, is how come the Obama administration is getting a pass for all the crap he's done?
Well, I'm not saying he's getting a pass. I'm just saying that the media seem to have been really, really focused on blaming George Bush for everything that they're possibly, you know, everything that went on in the country. And the Obama administration has, largely, I wouldn't say given a pass, but the coverage is a lot different in its tone and its tenor and the amount of it.
Well, okay. When we talk about a pass, when we talk about things that have happened, and you mentioned them, but the unemployment rate, which continues, you know, it's such a surprise to them. It's, oh gosh, another 15,000 when we thought it was going to be going down. So we're still well over 380,000. Maybe it's changed in the last week or two, but over 380,000 a week. I see companies like Caterpillar wanting to move out of places. I see other companies that are still talking about moving out of this country because of the cost of doing business here. I just see the fact that this health care plan, every doctor I talk to is terrified by it because they're just saying is that it's just going, it can literally ruin the health care system that we have right here. I see that we still have people at Guantanamo Bay. I still see it, tribunals down there. And by the way, I'm not against that. I'm just saying it's still there, and you said it wasn't going to happen. I see the Patriot Act still on. I see the pat downs at airports becoming even more, more onerous when you're 5-year-olds. So
Carl, we've got not two wars, but three. And, you know, people like John McCain, and I respect him for his POW service and his POW experience, but my God, he's talking as if we're still a rich country. And we're not a rich country. We're the world's largest debtor country. We've got to pull in our horns here and scale back some of this stuff. We can't be the policemen to the world anymore and going into every country that has a tin pot dictator that we don't happen to like. Well, we can't afford it.
Well, you know, there's plenty that we don't, thank goodness. I mean, we got Syria and Bahrain. You know, like Bahrain, they're killing more people. In Syria, they're killing more people a day than in Libya. And we're not doing anything about that. And I'm, thank God for that. Yeah, I just kind of feel like it's, you know, sometimes whoever gets to the Oval Office last gets the decision. I'm not sure if that's true or not, and I'd hate to think it's that.
Well, how is it that Obama, you know, who excoriated George Bush along with everybody else about going into Iraq to get rid of Saddam Hussein, how is it that he's doing essentially the same thing, focusing on Libya and getting rid of a man, Muammar Gaddafi, who is evil incarnate? How is this different? I mean, how is he able to compartmentalize this in his mind that this was George Bush and this is what I'm doing, and what I'm doing is fundamentally different and better than what George Bush did in Iraq?
And never went to Congress. At least Bush went to Congress.
And why isn't the Democratic Party, with the exception of Dennis Kucinich, who I hate to agree with, up in arms about this?
I can't help but think that the term hypocrisy is, you know, it should be like, you know, it should be in these golden letters over the Potomac area and over certain large media operations. We've got to take a break here for the news. Carl and Linda Bott. It is 8:30 on Monday, April the 25th, and this is Free Fire Radio. Radio on KCNR 1460, Oma Free Fire Media, 8:35 in the morning. It's April the 25th. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's right around the studio here. We gave those tickets to Daniel. Daniel, thanks for calling in. So this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. That's right, Cypress Square Barbershop, where you get the haircut of the decade. And if you're a veteran, you get a discount. DC Tim and the Man in Black give great haircuts, great prices. They support our community. They support our veterans. And it's Man's Last Stronghold. That's right, Man's Last Stronghold. It's in the Cypress Square. It's right off Athens Avenue. Go down there. Enjoy yourself. Get a haircut. Enjoy the conversation. Read the magazines. Just to have a good time. You know, that's what an old-time barbershop should be. Our guest, Mark Beecham, and we've been talking about the free pass that President Obama seems to have gotten from the mainstream media. Let's get in a little bit closer to home here. Something that's been going on, and it still rises. I mean, you think it's down, you know, you think it's finished, and it comes back again, is the library. And, you know, freedom of speech, is this a problem there?
Well, apparently it is, and I, frankly, I'm still scratching my head over a comment that I read in the paper that was attributed to Mike Stewart, who was the former superintendent of the Shasta Union High School District. And Mike Stewart was in favor of these free speech restrictions at City Hall, and he apparently spoke before the Library Commission and or the City Council when they were being debated, and he said the following, and I just find this perplexing and troubling at the same time. He said, quote, "There is nowhere in the Constitution requiring government to provide an audience for free speech. They want me to be their audience when I walk in that library. It's no big deal to walk by and say no thanks, but why should I even have to do that?" That was his quote, according to the Record Searchlight. You know, I know Mike Stewart. I mean, he's a nice guy. He's got a real appreciation for local history. He gave me a tour of the Shasta High building up on Eureka Way that he helped supervise the refurbishing of. Beautiful building. But I am mystified that somebody from academia, who spent his whole career in academia and you think would be interested in different points of view and curious about different points of view, would have this kind of know-nothing attitude toward free speech. If he has such a problem with free speech in front of the library, which is a public building, I really wonder what kind of treatment salesmen or proselytizers get when they come to his home and knock on his door.
Well, let's go back to something you said here, and I don't know Mike Stewart. And I applaud the fact he's been in education his whole life. But to say that in education they welcome different ideas, they want different points of view, I don't believe that. I don't believe that in all the cases. I've seen it in universities. I've seen it in colleges that the professors there have got one point of view, and they are proselytizing their point of view. And if you disagree with them, there's been countless cases where you get hammered. I remember back when I was finishing up my undergrad work, and we were talking about Vietnam. I had time in the Marines getting ready to head back in, and a political science professor said, he was talking about why Vietnam's bad, why this, and I just said, are there any other, is there another side to this? And he goes, what other side? And I remember what was said there in this classroom. And I'm not saying all teachers are like this or all universities are like this, so don't get on a high horse. But it doesn't necessarily mean they do want to hear all the sides. Now, in this case, a good question you had.
Well, my question
was,
a follow-up question
yes.
to this is that would this whole issue of free speech and leafleting and setting up card tables outside of the library, would it have even bubbled up? Had it not been for the fact that last fall, the first group, as I understand it, to ever test this was the Tea Party. The Tea Party shows up, sets up a card table, and hounds out pocket-sized copies of the Constitution and maybe some other literature. I don't know what it is. But had another group, League of Women Voters, Sierra Club, you name it, had another group shown up and done similar sort of informational pamphleting, would the librarians have been so cranky? Would other people have gotten so upset? Would it have risen to an issue that required a quasi-ordinance to be drafted by the city of Reading? And the utilization of, I don't know how many man-hours by our city attorney, Rick DuVernay, and the ultimate issue is it's going to expose us to possible lawsuits by both the left, the ACLU, and the right, the Tea Party, and potentially end up costing the city and the city's very hard-pressed general fund, Lord knows how much money to defend, and if they lose, how much money.
Where's that going? Well, we've had both sides here on the show at the same time. We've had ACLU and the Tim Pappas from one of the Tea Parties, but. Constitutional lawyer, and they've both agreed that this is wrong. You can't do that. You can't restrict speech like this. And I believe there is going to be. I believe there is going to be a lawsuit if they continue with this. This is really something that should have never happened.
No,
it's just let them put their. You know what? You want to have a rule? Here's a good rule. You can't put your literature on somebody's car out there. Okay, there's your restriction for free speech because. And that may not even be constitutional because I get it all the time. I just hate it. But
this ordinance is as they say it's a solution in search of a problem.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, we've got to take a quick break here. Our guest is Mark Beach, and we're talking. We've talked about Obama. Is he getting administration getting a free ride in the press as compared to what Bush went through? Was it people just hated Bush that much and they don't hate Obama? And now we're talking about the library. This is a question in constitutional right of freedom of speech, and yet for some reason we want to get involved with that, and it's going to lead to lawsuits. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. It's April the 25th. It's 8:41 in the morning, and this is Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567. We're streaming and chatting, and you all are up and chatting now. KCNR1460.com. It's 8:45 in the morning on April the 25th. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. A great place, Joe and Shelley. Love this community. They put in a lot of work, and they put in a lot for the veterans and those social and community events that mean something. And Tobacco and Brew's got the finest walk-in humidor in the state. It has espresso Joes for coffee, They sell everything you could possibly want to make coffee. They'll show you how to use it. They'll show you how to use the coffee presses. They'll show you how to use the espresso machines. They've got great prices on their stuff. This is Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. I cannot say enough about them. And if you want to look for a place where the veterans, look for some veterans, go down there and look there. You'll see a few of them always sitting around out front, perusing the street. Our guest is Mark Beecham. And we've been talking about a number of things. Last was the freedom of speech. And that's over. I mean, we finished that segment. But I don't understand why you want to pick a fight over something like this. And it's going to cost us money. Now, if you want to pick a fight, let's pick a fight about Costco.
Costco, yeah. Costco. I'm just amused. Every week I become more and more amused or befuddled by the city council as its members continue to contort themselves into ever more pretzel-like shapes to defend what I would consider a bribe to keep Costco inside the city of Reading, limits of the city of Reading. First it was let's help jumpstart the Oasis development and help out Don Levinson, a developer from Southern California. And then it's about, no, let's do this Costco.
I don't remember seeing Don Levinson, the Southern California. Was that in the print that I didn't see?
That's between, read between the lines.
Oh, okay, I got it. All right.
Then it's about, let's buy the Costco building and retrofit it as a police station. I mean, we pissed away the latter part of the 90s, and we wasted the 2000s, the economic boom. Instead of taking care of business like building a new police station, we didn't. We frittered that money away on other things. So now we've got a scandal in back of the studio. The police station's leaky. The fire.
It is terrible. Something does have to be done.
Chief Hansen has famously said that when he gets a drink of water, sometimes the water fountain catches on fire. It's a mess. But the idea that we have to, you know, buy the Costco building and retrofit it as a police station, that's the next iteration of what the council's trying to do to justify something, which is basically jump-starting the development on Oasis Road. Now, the latest iteration of this is it's not about the police station. It's about further revitalizing downtown. We need to get the police out of this building so that we can demo it and put in a parking lot so that then we can move ahead with another large redevelopment project, which is building on the site of the current parking structure a huge mixed-use shopping residential development. So the council is increasingly twisting itself and trying to justify a deal that is unnecessary. If Costco wants to move, let Costco move. Costco is not going to move out of Reading. Costco wants to stay in Reading, but let Costco move to where it makes the most sense. There was an item in your chat room earlier today about maybe Costco moving to the Wind River property just south of the city limits, which has a lot to recommend it, really. It's closer to the major population center than Oasis Road is. Oasis Road is up to the north in an area that's rather remote, and it already has fairly good freeway access to it, and all the city would have to do would be to annex that Wind River property, which would be very simple to do because it's already on the border of the city, and punch a couple of roads through there. You know, the Wind River could have Costco, and then ultimately they could build a casino on the same property because they own two equal size properties. They own the Strati property to the south, and then they own a piece of property to the north, which they bought back in the early 2000s. So let Costco go where it wants to. We don't have to be guaranteeing the purchase of their building and then buying into a deed restriction on that building, which if the retrofit of the police station turns out to be too expensive, as I fear it could be, that building could remain empty and a blight on Dana Drive for years to come.
It could be, but the but then again, it may not be. But we've got to go to a break right now. When we come back, let's discuss this. The idea of Costco staying within the city limits, the part about annexing that part of the property, keep it within the city limits because of the taxes, which is what I see. The part that we do need to, we can talk forever about what happened 5 years ago or even last year. But we do need to fix the police station. We don't have the money to build it from the ground up. So it's just one way of fixing it. Would Costco leave the area? Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think they will because they want to keep one here. Now, the question is where's the best situation for it? Anyway, we got to take a break. Carl and Linda Bott, it's 8:50 in the morning. This is KCNR 1460, and this is Free Fire Radio.
No, I won't down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gate.
Oh, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, 8:55 in the morning on April the 25th, right after Easter. And somebody just wrote stuff in the chat room that I could, this could be a whole show about some things that were said yesterday in the religious section of the Record Searchlight. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm going to have to go back and take a look. But
don't say that. You got to read what
it is. I know, but I don't know if it's true. I can't. What it says is that the local Redding Muslim of Shasta County. Now this is what I don't know if it's true. That's why I hesitate to say it. Called Israelis a name in the RS religious section. I guess there's a way we can check that out. Bob, check that out before we get off the. So go to yesterday, the religious section. And see, that's I hesitate about saying anything when I read it on this. Okay, let's go back to
the... You don't believe everything you see online, Carl?
I believe very little, unless it comes out of something that we write. If it comes out of your pen, Beecham, I believe it, okay? Now, talking
there's
again...
There's your mistake.
Okay. Okay, we're talking about how you're saying is that we don't need to do this, and we can still keep Costco, let Costco pay for it. And now, everybody agrees we need a police station. I mean, anybody that says it. And we're in a spot where it's really bad. So do we, and the cost of taking a piece of property and building it from scratch is going to be almost twice the cost as it would from refitting a place like Costco. Are we at that point where it's where we need to say it's time to do something? Or are we at this place, well, you know what, maybe we can do some more stuff over here and then kick it down the road another year?
Well, I'm worried that we just don't have the money to even retrofit a building at this point.
No, that's a good point. I think they said something like $8 to $12 million to maybe more than that to refit a building, to get it up to emergency standards, of course. But that's something, I tell you what, we're going to, we'll get one of the city council people on there for this. Jones or Missy or Rick Bassetti, have them come on and talk about this.
And make sure you have someone who, in addition to the city council person, someone like Les Melberg, who's had some experience with retrofitting and could ballpark that.
Well, I know that they've gone down. The chief went down and looked at a couple of places that had been one had been retrofitted and one had been built from the ground up. Of course. From the ground up, which is what Leonard Modi thinks is the best idea, works, but it's very expensive. And he went to a place that had been retrofitted, Chief Hansen and I think Missy and maybe Rick Bassetti, and they saw how it could be done, and that it was very usable, and they've got room to expand the whole thing. But the bottom line is that I think we've reached the point where. Here's a good idea. I mean, we can keep going for the best idea, but we'll never get it done. Or we can go to a good idea and let's get it done. Now, the bottom line, though, and this is the skunk on the table, do we have the money?
Yeah, and I think that's an unknowable at this point.
Yeah, well.
Because we've got a governor who wants to get rid of the whole redevelopment agency scheme across the state. And if he prevails with that, then our source of easy money disappears.
Well, that's, and And he has said that. He has said doing away with that. You know, and the you know, just looking at the amount of money that's being going to be taken away from this county, or has the, we could be losing here with the cessation of the vehicle tax fees. $2 million worth of fees that are taken, or that money goes straight into the sheriff, straight into probation, and straight into the city police. And if we lose that.
Well, not to mention the suit that Walt McNeil has brought against the REU and the use of REU monies in the general fund. If we were to lose that,
$6 million a year.
That would be quite a big hit, too.
Well, we've got a lot of things to talk about this week just to keep everybody happy. We've got, in fact, Sheriff Pasenko is going to be on this Wednesday. We'll talk a little bit about that.
Speaking of utilities, you ought to have Paul Hauser on again and ask him again about the impact of these new energy mandates that the legislature has passed in California on not just our utility bills here in Redding, but on utilities across the state. I mean, I understand Redding might be somewhat better shape than some others because we have more hydro than others, but it's going to be a big ticket item for us.
Well, every time he's been on, we've discussed this, and people, I don't think people understand is that all these new rules they have for this green technology is going to kill us. That's one of the reasons it's just going to keep going up 20% at a time. And you're right, we'll have him on too. Hey, Mark Beecham's been our guest. You're always welcome here, Mark. We love having you on here. This is Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 1460. Tomorrow we're going to be talking more of the same, but we're going to be doing it differently. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.